Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to express my appreciation for your organizing this conference, because I think it is a very important topic that cannot be stressed enough, and it is important that there could have been more seats filled, but I would like to ask those who are here tonight to spread the word to their friends and fellow students. Now, let me first say that unlike other speakers this evening, I am currently not professionally active in the field of fighting human trafficking. So you may wonder, what does an ambassador to UNESCO have to do with an issue like this? Well, let me give you a little background here. Prior to coming to Paris about a year and a half ago, I was for 2 years a member of the Dutch National Task Force to fight human trafficking. This is a multidisciplinary task force. The interesting thing is that, well, it is composed of representatives of various government agencies, bodies, ministries, what have you. But the initiative was taken by the public prosecutor. So it started from that angle. And there was police was involved, mayors, all kinds of people who looked at human trafficking initially from criminal prosecution angle. And over time, it was concluded by the very people in the task force that that was a too limited approach, that other elements had to be brought in. So other services, other ministries, NGOs also got involved, because it was felt that only if you approached the issue in a broad manner, you would be able to achieve results. Then I was asked on behalf of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to also join the task force. And of course, my role was very much focused on prevention. Generally, embassies and consulates are, well, not generally, they have no role to play when it comes to prosecution or investigation. What we do as embassies and missions abroad is act as liaisons between governments, basically, and also we serve the interests of our fellow countrymen who get into trouble abroad, so in that sense we are also confronted with victims of crime. Another task for many embassies is to issue visas to people who want to visit either the Netherlands, or we are a somewhat particular country. We have the Netherlands, which you may all know, Amsterdam, The Hague, etc. But there is also another part of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, which is in the Caribbean. Curaçao, Aruba, St. Martin, some small islands with lots of tourists, but also quite a number of trafficking victims, because tourists want to have fun, so there is a sex industry on those islands, and the ladies working there generally come from Latin America, apply for visas, and could very well be victims of trafficking. So from that angle, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs got involved, and I worked with our embassies abroad, and I also encouraged them to work on awareness raising with their visa applicants. If they had the feeling that young women or girls who said that they would go to one of the islands as a cleaner or as a dancer could be a victim, we asked our embassy to point at the risks that they were running, and we asked our embassies to do some thorough questioning, making sure that, well, that they were well aware what they were going for, what they were traveling for. So that is an element that still continues to be an important part of our involvement. Now, because we feel as a government that governments have a high responsibility in preventing human trafficking and preventing also innocent people from falling victim to this. And we were, this was in fact confirmed only a couple of years ago in a verdict by the European Court for Human Rights in a particular case where in fact the court eventually told two countries that they had to do their work better. That was Russia and Cyprus. Because a young Russian girl had traveled without any problem from Russia to Cyprus to work there as an artist. And she ended up in the sex industry, escaped, went to the Cypriotic police, who in fact handed her over to her exploiter, and shortly after she was found dead, dropped or kicked from a balcony. So that was a very, very sad outcome. And the European Court ruled that both the Russian and Cyprus government had a responsibility here to avoid these situations. This may sound a bit European for an American university, but then maybe we're in France after all, so there's nothing wrong with a little European touch. And I know perhaps there are students of international law among you, and it's even more interesting. And which actually reminds me of the American role. I think there was a reference on one of the slides, where it said U.S. State Department. Every year, the U.S. State Department issues a report, the so-called TIP report, Trafficking in Persons report, and which is a very the result of very thorough work, surveying and doing all kinds of checks in many countries, and this results in an assessment of where countries stand when it comes to human trafficking practices, the occurrence of human trafficking, but more importantly, what countries do to address the issue. And we find, unfortunately, that still a large number of countries do not meet the standards. Fortunately, they are urged, but they're fortunately also assisted in improving their performance. We find that the awareness, in any case, is increasing in a number of countries. I should add here that if you get very bad marks in this report, it may have consequences. If you have the worst marks of all, this may even have an impact on trade relations between the US and the country concerned. So there is definitely an incentive, other than the other considerations, moral, legal, etc., for countries to make an effort. But an important element for a successful strategy to counter trafficking, of course, is knowledge. Knowledge is indispensable for an approach that addresses the problem efficiently and effectively. And knowledge then again requires solid research and analysis. And fortunately, organizations like the Council of Europe, but also the European Union and others, UN organizations assist governments in building up this expertise and knowledge to more effectively fight the problem. I had a number of other points, but they have been covered largely by previous speakers. So let me turn to the problem of it was touched upon, but I would like to mention it once more. The exploitation very often occurs in hidden sectors, such as the unlicensed sex industry, the informal economy, and behind closed doors in private households, making it difficult to detect. I should add here that before I was a member of the Dutch National Task Force, I was the ambassador of the Netherlands to Lebanon, and there I was also confronted with, I must say, horror stories about young women, very often from Asia, but also from African countries, who perhaps legally were not victims of trafficking, but their situation quite often could be compared to those victims. They had no freedom to move. Often their passports were seized by their employers, and so there were very, very tragic stories as well. And before, in a more remote past, I was the director for democratization and human rights in the Stability Pact for Southeastern Europe. That is in the years 2000-2003, and well, that was a period where also in that region trafficking was on the rise. So this partly explains why I once said to someone that once you get involved in this problem, it doesn't let you go, really. You cannot just say, well, this was my job for a couple of years and now I move on to UNESCO, so who cares about trafficking? It doesn't work like that, I can tell you. The fight against human trafficking is not only a responsibility of governments, nor the police, nor judicial authorities. And the theme of this evening, as I got it, was how can students get involved in prevention? The first P that was mentioned among the five Ps. First of all, I would say students must be aware of the phenomenon. It is not something you run into on a daily basis. Students must keep their eyes open. Well, you already showed that you keep your eyes open, have kept your eyes open for quite some time. But you must see the abuse that takes place in your societies, and not only in circles that you don't normally mingle with. I remember a moving testimony that we got from a Dutch girl a couple of years ago, from a solid, good background with well-educated parents. She had studied violin from a very early age, but then when she was 15, her parents divorced. And that brought her out of balance, made her insecure and vulnerable, and an easy prey for a boy who promised her the world, but in fact sold her to the world by making her work as a prostitute, making hundreds of thousands of euros for him before she finally managed to free herself at the age of 22. So look around you, be sensitive of signals of evil, and take action. Secondly, students can involve themselves in community work and participate in awareness-raising programs for less privileged children. The earlier these children are made aware of these dangers, the less likely they are to become victims or consumers or perpetrators later on. At the same time, we must be realistic. Too often I've heard stories that of girls, but also boys and adults for that matter, who had been informed properly, but waved off the dangers. They were convinced that they were smarter than these victims that they had been shown. And so it is. This means that the message is not an easy one, and it must be spread and told even more vigorously and in a smarter way. And apart from that, of course, prosecution, punishment, etc., must also be stepped up. This is for those of you who aim at a career in the police or as an attorney or a judge. But to all others, I advise to be vigilant and to support the vulnerable. There are also, of course, NGOs, I think a few were already referred to, that students can join and support. I think that is very valuable work. As the Dutch National Rapporteur on Trafficking in Human Beings said at a conference we organized in November at UNESCO, slavery should not be considered as a subject for history lessons only. Now, turning to the role that education can play more generally in preventing human trafficking, this was in fact the topic that we discussed at the conference at UNESCO in November. We concluded, and this is, I think, an important message that also needs to be spread more widely. Education is much more than learning to read and write. It is not just about maths and preparing for exams. Education is about teaching values as well, and skills that enable children to live decent lives and make their contribution to society. So education programs should be better geared to cater for these so-called soft skills. There is more information on the conference we had in November on the site of UNESCO, unesco.org, and I would advise you to visit that. I think, well, there are many more aspects, but let me stop here because I would very much like to have an open discussion and a question and answer session perhaps later on, but I thank you for your attention.